Broadcasting from the wine country in California, this is the Kick-Ass Relationship Show, where intimate secrets and modern advice for couples is shared to elevate your relationship to live sexier, happier, and have way more fun. We believe success in life is better when mixed with excitement and love. And now, here's your kick-ass relationship coach and best-selling author, Midori Verity.
Hey, everyone. We are going to have an amazing show today because I want to know if you are wondering how to have the power and confidence of a dominatrix. Today, you're going to discover how these skills transfer from the bedroom to the boardroom. Learn to feel more empowered and successful. I am Midori Verity, the Kick-Ass Marriage Coach and your host. And each week, I bring you guests, tips, inspiration, and fun to help energize your life and your relationship show. And so we are starting off, we always start off every show with my 3 minutes to thrive tip of the day. And I was inspired today because we are just finishing up our trip to Southern California. We are in Santa Barbara. I had two boys who graduated this week, one from high school and one from college. And so we made a big vacation of it. We went and rented a house in Southern California, and now we are headed on our way back, but we decided to stop for a night in Santa Barbara. And so right now I am looking out over an ocean, and then on the other side, I'm looking at this amazing pool. So what my 3 minutes to thrive is how to design your life. So my husband and I, we have designed this life. We both love to travel. We both love to be at the beach, and we need a lot of excitement. It's just kind of in our DNA. We both need a lot of excitement and change in our lives. So we have designed this, and that's why we're able to do this. And we can both work from our phones and from our computer. That's all we really need. And we're with our two boys right now. Life truly, truly couldn't be better. But all you have to do is learn how to take the steps to design your life. So right now, I'm going to give you 5 steps to help you with this. Step number one is to dream together. So get with your partner and dream, brainstorm, really think about what excites you, what brings you passion, what kind of scares you a little bit, but that what you really, really want. Talk about it and dream big and get excited. So that's step number one. Step number two is to set a major goal. What is it that you want to do? Is it that you want to travel by RV for 6 months out of the year? Is it that you want to move to a different town? Is it that you want to retire? Is it that you want to have a bigger house? Do you want to change careers? Whatever it is, write one major goal down that you both are going to work towards. Step number three is to get real. In order for this to work, you have to write out the obstacles that are in front of you and how you're going to overcome them. So brainstorm. Don't stop at anything. Write down whatever the challenges are that may arise or are in front of you right now, and then write down how you can overcome them. So again, this comes to brainstorming with your partner. What are the resources that you have? Who do you know who might help you get there? Can you go back to school? Think about everything that is at your fingertips. Step number four is to take action. Writing these down, thinking about them, dreaming big, that's all nice, but nothing's going to happen until you start taking the action steps to make them work. So that is what you have to write down next, is what type of action steps are you going to take to achieve the goals that you need to do in order to achieve your major goal. And then step number five is to hold each other accountable. So how this works is you meet once a week with your partner, have it on the calendar, just like a board meeting, just like any type of business meeting. Have it once a week where you guys come together and you talk about the challenges that you may have had and how you can help each other overcome those challenges. You're going to be blown away by when you start working together as a team, how much more efficient, effective, and successful you become. So that's it. Those are the 5 steps to designing your life. So I hope that those help you. But I really, really, really want to get to our guest because she is incredible. I found her and did some research into her, into what she does. Her name is Dana Ferrant, and she is a master healer, life strategist, published author, and past CEO of a near 7-figure business, and a former dominatrix. Dana is a transformational coach who uses dynamic tools for rapid change. Her kick-ass energy and ability to perceive, pinpoint, and pop the problem limiting you, your body, or your business while having fun. So it's kind of the perfect person to have on today based on our 3 minutes to thrive. So let's get right to it. Help me welcome Dana to our show. Welcome, Dana. You there?
Super excited to be on your show. Ooh.
Oh, good. Okay, I can hear you.
Yep. Okay, good. Okay. There's always that moment of like, oh, no, they can't hear me.
No, I can hear you.
Good.
That's awesome. Tell me. Okay, so I'm so intrigued by you for so many reasons, but tell me briefly what it means to be a dominatrix. How do you define that?
So there's a few layers to it. There is, you know, there's the professional, you know, pro dom that people think of, you know, as far as dominatrix, and that is, you know, where you do that work for a fee. And then there is, you know, dominatrix that work based on who they want to serve, and it's not a fee exchange. And that was more my route that I took. I was more in it for my own learning, my own journey. I was very selective about who I played with. I did have some paying clients, but the majority of my time in the world was only by choice and very selective.
So, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. It, you know, because I know that there's so much stigma and there's so many thoughts that or stereotypes, I think, that go into it. But what I love about you is that you have used those skills to become really successful and help others. So tell us about your journey from becoming a dominatrix to using it to help coach people.
So I'm going to back up. Before I got into the dominatrix world, I was very intrigued with the kink community, which is the BDSM community. And, you know, for a number of years, I skirted around that industry. I was asking friends, I was asking questions, I was reading books, and I'm talking like 9 years I was researching. And but I was in a relationship that was not going to work for me to explore that. So when I finally, you know, left that relationship and, you know, admitted that I've tried absolutely everything and it's not going to work, the first thing I did was call up my friend and say, okay, I'm ready to go to a party. And I dove into that world, you know, in the submissive side, and I was very, very fortunate that I found some people who were very gifted and took me on an incredible healing journey. And if people don't know anything about the kink, it sounds retarded that I'm going to say, I'm going to, you know, get rid of my abuse by going out and being abused, because that's what it looks like on the outside, but that's the misconception. What it actually is this amazing safe container for you to, you know, move through your challenges, to push through these barriers and limits that you think that you have and create an outcome that leaves you with this visceral feeling of I've overcome. And for me, I had some people that could reenact the abuse that I went through so that it actually pulled it out of my body, like right out of the cells. It was incredible. And for me, that was like, okay, I've always been in the healing world, and I was like, I need to do this for other people. There was such a passion. And so I flipped over to the dominatrix side and started taking people through this healing journey using the whips and using that process of taking them further than they think they can and stripping down, you know, the walls and the barriers that we put up, getting them really, really deeply connected to who they are inside. So it's not much of a stretch when you hear that. Like, it's not much of a stretch to think that's very much like coaching, right?
Wow. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So this is not what I expected at all. This is amazing. So it was a healing thing for you. That's how this
very
all
much.
Even came about. That's why you were seeking it out, was to heal something within you.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize that at the time. It was just this pull, this constant pull. At, you know, there was a sexual component for me personally, and there was just always this, I want to explore that. But what I realized in looking back is that I intuitively was driving myself there so that I could heal and then, of course, go on the journey of healing other people. So it's very, very powerful and not at all what you think from the outside.
No, that's definitely not what I thought from the outside. Okay, yeah. So you went, this is what I find really interesting. You went from submissive to dominatrix. So does this mean that anyone can? Does it mean that it doesn't need to be something that's inherent in you? I don't have to feel like I want to overpower someone to become a dominatrix. Explain the psychology behind this a little bit.
Yeah, and see, this is the other misnomer that, you know, people look at the outside and they say, they see this, you know, strong, domineering, overpowering kind of person. And that's a role. And what is really going on is that as a dominatrix, you know, you are deeply in service to your clients. So when I had clients, I would go through this long intake and looking at, okay, so what do you want to try? What do you not want to try? What's an absolute no? What are your trigger words? What's your history? I need to know, you know, where there are landmines, because you don't want to accidentally say a word and have them completely break scene. You want to know what words they want to, you know, move past, and so you can weave those in and bring these pieces in. And so once you go through that negotiation phase, then you set up a scene and you craft kind of a loose script. This is what I would do. I'd craft kind of a loose script of like where I want to go, where I want to take it. And in the moment when the person comes in, there is a surrender. So they would, you know, typically there's a collar ring, right? So you have this collar so that it represents a physical, you now surrender to me. And we both pretend. We pretend that the submissive is handing all of the power over to the dominatrix, and the dominatrix pretends that they have all of the power. But what is actually going on is that they're handing it over so that they can let go, but they have the ultimate power all the time. And we know this. Both players know this, but we're going to pretend so that the scene can evolve in the way that it needs to evolve.
Interesting. So it's more like acting. It's more like just playing out like you said, you called it playing out a part.
Yeah. And you need to own it. Like, this is part of the thing of, you know, where I moved into what I'm doing now is that in order to do this work, like, I couldn't pretend. I can't fake it. I can't go, oh, I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to fake this thing, right? It's kind of like, you know, the old-time actors, they would fake it. They'd be like, you know, putting on this role. And you're like, it's not quite authentic. But when you have an actor who's, like, so immersed to the character that you, like, you buy it, that's how deep you have to go to be an effective dominatrix. You have to own it. So you need to embody that confidence, that control, that I'm in charge, that energy. And at the same time, I'm hyper aware of what's going on with my clients because their life is in my hands. So I need to be present.
Yeah. And they have to be open to it. They have to be open to everything, just like you are, to get the effect, I would imagine.
Yeah. And if I'm not holding that space energetically, they can't surrender because part of them is like, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you've got this. But if I come in there 100% and I'm like, I have got this and you're letting go.
Yeah.
Then they can let go.
Absolutely. I would never trust someone who I think is half in to go there. You're way too vulnerable to do that.
Too vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
You're kind of blindfolded most of the time. Like, do you really want somebody who's kind of half in there?
Drinking a Mai Tai on the side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can this be used with anyone? I mean, do you see people who come in who are super uptight and conservative and not willing to let go yet? I mean, are you able to break through to them, or do they have to come to you absolutely ready to go? Tell me a little bit about what it takes to be a client that can succeed through something like this.
Okay, so I'm going to answer that, but I just want to preface it with that I have moved out of the physical dominatrix part of it, and I'm really teaching people the energy and stepping into their own inner dominatrix. Okay, so with that, do they need to be ready? Absolutely. Can they come in, pardon me, can they come in scared? Absolutely. You know, most people are, you know, they're nervous, excited, and scared all together, and, you know, you're never going to push somebody beyond where they're ready to go. When you sign up with a dominatrix, it's not a one-off situation. And I would never, like, I never worked that way. Like, there are the dungeons where people can come and it's just kind of a one-off, and they go very superficial. I always wanted to go deep into the healing side of it. So it was a long-term relationship in which you ramped things up over long periods of time. So maybe, you know, meeting once a month for a year, and each time you meet, you're able to deepen that trust factor, and so they're able to let you in more. You're able to take them further. Some people open up right away, and you're able to like drop them right down into that what we call subspace, which is that zone that is just amazing, where you nothing else exists, no time, no space, nothing. You're like, whew, everything's gone. And most people come in because they're looking for that peace. They're so wrapped up in their lives that they can't shut off their brain. Often it's high-powered executives or people with a lot of responsibilities all the time, and they need to shut their brain off. So they come in, they're looking to hit that subspace. And that is like, I would liken it to the value of having 20 massages back-to-back.
And you can get it all done in 1 hour with you. That's
well,
this is
hours.
So well, yeah, multiple hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but this is so fascinating to me, and I know that this is not what you do anymore, but I really, really wanted to hit on the psychology and how that world, the dominatrix and the what's the full term for the submissive? Thank you.
Yeah.
You know how that all works, because I know there's so much curiosity behind it, you know, especially for anyone who's been in a relationship for a while. It's that kind of, you know, the secret thoughts that we're afraid to ask, but we really want to know. You talked about kink. This kind of world is so important as a couple to understand, and it might be for you, it might not, but it still is. It's interesting, and I wanted to hit on it in this first part of the conversation. So we have to go into a very quick break, but when we come back, we are going to be talking more about the type of coaching that Dana does now, using the skills that she had adapted when she was a dominatrix, and how it can apply to you and how it can help you. So we're going to be going into that right when we come back. So stay with us.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and maybe feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
White lips, pale face, breathing in snowflakes, burnt lungs, sour taste. Lights gone, days end, struggling to pay rent, long nights. strange men. They say she's in the class 18, stuck in her daydream. Been this way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like pastries. And they scream the worst things in life come free to us, but she's just under the upper hand. Goes mad for a couple grams, and she don't wanna go outside tonight, 'cause in the pipe she'll fly to the motherland.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is such a fun show. So I am here with Dana. If you are just tuning in, I am with Dana Ferrant, and we are talking about dominatrix and submission and kink. We've even hit on kink. So we are hitting it all, and she's being so authentic and telling us what the life is really like and what it's actually about. So now what we're going to focus on a little bit more is on the type of coaching that she does now. And basically, well, you know what, Dana, I'm going to let you explain it. So explain to us what you do now and how you use the skills that you've gained from being a dominatrix to help people out.
Yeah, thanks. So I want to just, quick little story. So the big business that I had that was near seven figures, we actually hit a bankruptcy, and I had to go through a restructuring where I laid everybody off, and I took that business and, figured out a way to regrow it. And it was in that process that I noticed that when I pulled in the energy of who I was as a dominatrix into my business, that my sales would go up. And if I let that slide, because we're all human, right? When I would let it slide, my sales would go down. And I was like, this is very interesting. So I played with it for a bit. And I would notice just every single time, like every time I brought that energy in, clients, customers, they were like, they'd call me up beforehand, before they come in. Can I bring you lunch? Do you need anything? Like, they're all checking in. And it was fascinating to see how me owning that space changed what was going on in my business. And that started the wheels going in my head of like, I think what I need to do is to show business owners how stepping into that energy really changes the dynamics of the interaction with their clients, their sales, all of those kinds of things, and allows you to have way more fun. So that was what led me to it. And then also in dealing with some more high-level energy work, I noticed that I could take people to the same space as I was with the whips, almost the same space and same results, but with energy work. And I have a phrase, I call myself the lazy dominatrix, because it's honestly a lot of work to beat people. So if I can do it with energy instead, that works for me.
That's funny. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that? Yeah.
It is. It's quite a bit of physical work.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about that. So now you're dealing with, you talked a lot about energy work and stepping into the energy of being a dominatrix. So run down, describe that a little bit more deeply for us so we can kind of get a tangible idea of what you mean.
Yeah, and I use the dominatrix as kind of an archetype at this point. So it's not about masculine or feminine, and, it's not only for women. The dominatrix is this, ideal that I hold out. And if you think about the energy of who she is, she is that woman who, when she walks in the room, and it's man or woman, when she walks in the room, all eyes turn because there is something compelling about her. She doesn't have to say anything. She doesn't have to do anything, but just her very presence is compelling. And people are like, damn, I think I want to get to know her. She doesn't have to be the most beautiful. She doesn't have to be anything spectacular physically, but there's an energy about it. And that compelling energy is what I'm helping people to step into now, where they embrace and welcome having the eyes on them, right? So if you're wanting to grow your business, you need to be visible. You need to be comfortable with commanding attention. If you need to speak from the stage, you need to be able to, hold that energy in the room, and you need to be able to, embrace people. So that archetype is what I'm helping people to step into. And, holding out the lessons and the learnings of what it took me to get into that energy, I can hold that out for people. Now, what it takes to get there is a process, right? So we can't go from somebody being meek and mild and timid today and then, oh, we're going to have one session and boom, you're going to be a dominatrix. No problem. You're going to own that, right?
Right. I was wondering, I'm like, how does one do that? Okay, so,
right.
So tell us about this. Tell us how this works.
Yeah. So the steps that I take people through, I walk them through this journey. And at first, what I need to do is I need to clear out the baggage, right? We all have baggage. We have limiting thoughts, limiting beliefs, and programs that we've brought with us, right? So maybe there's, you know, some sexual trauma in the past. Maybe there's, you know, some psychological stuff in there. And it's about untangling that. Right. So if somebody's brand new, you know, they haven't done any of this work, I am not the person for you. But if you've done that work and you're still finding that you're not stepping in your power, then there's a deeper layer. And that's where I go. I love to go that deeper layer, getting rid of it right down at the cellular root on an energetic level. Right. That's what
yes.
I do. So once we clear off that, and that's, you know, that's actually quicker than you think. Because the next step is getting you in tune with your intuitive knowing, which is part of stepping in your power, right? So if you are aware that you're the one with the information, you're the one with the knowledge, you become your guru, then you stop giving the power away. You stop looking for other people for the answers, and you start going within. So that's the next part of that process. And in that, you also unlock from where you're taking on other people's thoughts and emotions, which also disempowers, right? So we start to realize,
yes.
Oh, most of what we feel is not even ours. Great. That's why it doesn't take me that long to unlock people, right? Because most of it's not even theirs. It's really cool. So as we're walking along this journey, so now it's like, okay, now you're learning how to, you know, connect to you, get into you as the guru. The third part of this is learning to own and hold that dominatrix energy. And like I said, it works for men or women. It's not about a female thing. I just use that female term because I'm a woman, and that's easier.
Right.
It's easier than saying dom or dominatrix every time I want to say it, right?
So, okay, totally makes sense, yeah?
Yeah, so then learning how to connect with that energy, learning how to hold that energy, and it being... it being locked into the cells, into a new program. So that's the journey that I walk people through. And it's dynamic at the end, really.
Okay, so I want to just to chat about this because I think for a lot of people, we feel like we've done all the work. You know, we know that we're supposed to trust our gut because we read it, we hear it, we study it, we hear it all the time, right? We hear, oh, you've got to trust your gut.
Yep.
But there's something that's not, we're still not achieving that goal. We're still doubt.
Right.
If we really think about it, we're still doubting our gut, right? Is that kind
yeah.
of what you're saying? It's like there's
yeah.
still something there. We're not releasing everything. And that's
yeah.
where you step in. You're
yeah.
that missing piece that we don't have at saying, okay, let me help you here. This is what's happening. And we're now going to give you that full confidence so that you can 100% trust yourself and release all the other crap that's going through your head.
You got it.
Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's very much, yeah, it is. It is that deepening of the tools, right? So we can sit here and we can say, well, you know, trust your gut, right? Your mind can be sitting there telling you, you need to trust your gut. Your intuition's always right. But the disconnect from the body, if you're not in your body, and this is what the, you know, that whole kink world got me, is it taught me how to get into my body. I mean, I lived for the first 30 plus years, not in my body, and in this, you know, hyper-vigilant state, okay, because I went through all kinds of abuse. I was always on high alert. I could be in a room and I could tell you what everybody was doing. That was how I lived. I was never relaxed. I know, it was incredible. When I went through the kink experiences and I could get it out of my body, then for the first time, I was actually able to relax into a room and not have to be on high alert all the time. And so you got to think, if I'm not on high alert all the time, then I have more resources available to move forward in my life instead of managing things.
God, okay, so walk us through that part of it a little bit. I wish we had like hours to talk about all this, or maybe we can do a series. But
sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the part that we were just mentioning, and that releasing it, you know, just releasing that last part of those self-doubts and worrying about everyone around us. What are there some steps that we can do that you can share with us regarding that? How do we stop worrying about what everyone else is thinking, that monkey chatter that we waste our time
on? And I would say two things here that I give to people is that, one, you know, getting in touch with your energy and allowing your energy field to expand out and, like, huge out, okay? Not just the size of the room. I'm talking the size of the universe. And what I do is I have this analogy. So if we imagine other people's stuff, so their emotions, their thoughts, their judgments, their crap, is post-it notes, okay? When you pull in, and what most people do, they pull in and they put up walls and barriers and shields and bubbles and, you know, white light and all this stuff, and you pull in, you contract everything in, and you become solid like a wall. But what I invite people to do is to stand out so that you're expanded out the size of the universe or even beyond, and then you become spacious like the wind. Now, if other people's stuff is post-it notes, what's going to stick more, the wind or the wall?
Say that again. Say that one more time.
So if other people's stuff is post-it notes, can you put more post-it notes on the wind or the wall?
On the wall. You can't
on
put it
the
on
wall.
The wind.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, this idea of being contracted in to so-called protect yourself is actually hindering you. And you get loaded down with everybody else's baggage, right? So we get loaded down with other people's judgments. So you get loaded down with their thoughts, their beliefs. Their, you know, we have the ability to pick up from everybody in the world. Well, if there's 9 billion people on the planet, what do you think the odds are that the majority of what you feel is not even yours?
Totally high.
Very high.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is getting connected with what is actually yours and what is not, right? So the first thing is, you know, to expand out the size of the universe and beyond on a regular basis. So, you know, I say this all the time, but eventually it clicks with people, is to take your cell phone, set up an alarm for every half hour, some nice gentle ringtone, and every time that ringtone goes off, you expand out. And what that does is it sets in motion that you're actually going to lock in that new behavior and to expand out more of the time. So then you have less that you're taking on, more that you're letting go, and you can start to feel the difference of what is yours and what is not.
Okay, talk to me a little bit more about what you mean by expanding out. I'm one of those who I need the absolute, like, the steps for it. I need to be able to feel and touch it. So,
yeah. Your brain,
so tell me more about
this,
that.
Right? So are you familiar with, like, aura field, that kind of thing? Okay.
Yes.
So it's not a doing. This is the challenge, is that it's not a doing. It's a being. But for you, I find that for people who like something tangible, if you can imagine taking those walls and just crumbling them down and then notice being able to take up more space. And what you can do is you can play with asking yourself questions. You can say, I wonder what it would feel like if I was as big as this room. And I wonder what it would feel like if I was as big as the world. Right? And you just keep going. I wonder what it would feel like if I was as big as the universe. And then notice what it feels like in your body.
Yeah, and not having those walls that come in the way that stop the energy.
Right. So if you want a visual, the movie Aladdin and Robin Williams, I just love that man. So he does that scene where it's like infinite power in an itty bitty living space.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
Right. So that's kind of the thing. If we take our energy field and we want to be beyond the container of our body, because we, and this is my belief, this is where I come from, is that we are infinite beings. And so why would we confine ourselves to this tiny little body?
Right. That makes so much sense. Now that you've explained it, I get it.
Good.
And this is so fascinating. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to go to break right now, but we have to. But we are going to come back. I'm going to actually change my show up a little bit because I want to know more. So you guys stay with us because we're going to come back and we're going to find out more about how all this works, because I think it's so important, because so many of us trip over things. We read a million books. We talk to psychologists and therapists and coaches, and we do all this work, but there still is something that's missing. There's something that's not clicking, and Dana is hitting on it right now. That's why this is such an important conversation. So we are going to go into a quick little break, and we are going to come back, and we're going to discover more with Dana. Stay with us.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and maybe feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger. And it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
In my direction, so thankful for that. It's such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, you are my sunrise on the darkest day. Got me feeling some kind of way. Make me want to savor every.
Okay, you guys, we are here with Dana Ferrant, and we are talking about dominatrix. And more importantly, the last segment was amazing. We talked about increasing your energy field and knocking down those limiting walls, which metaphorically are those limiting beliefs, those things that get in our way, and becoming more like the wind, because nothing can stick to the wind. People's thoughts and beliefs on us, they can't stick to the wind. And Dana brought up the whole analogy of using a post-it note being someone else's belief or thoughts. And, you know, we all interpret things weird and they get in our way. They slow us down. They cause us to trip over ourselves and not be able to step into who we want to become. So that is what we've been talking about. But now we're going to go into another strategy, and we're going to be talking about intuition. So Dana, talk to us about this. How does this work? What are some tools that we can use to be able to tap deeper into our intuition?
Yeah. And I first want to hold out for people this reminder that your intuition is right 100% of the time. Right? Every time we get that niggling, I mean, how many times have you've had something go on and it's like, damn, I wish I'd listened to myself. Every time,
yeah.
Right. Every single time. So, you know, training ourselves to actually follow those niggles in the first place is a process. It is a muscle development. You know, just like training yourself to expand out, for me, even though I've done a lot of advanced work, it still took me 9 months to really train myself to lock that in. So I want to hold that out for your listeners that, It's not going to be, okay, here you have this tool, you've got it tomorrow. And same thing with trusting your intuitive knowing and tuning into your intuitive knowing. You know, first thing is to get to know what is your internal compass. And, you know, it's gauging things by the sensations of your body. So the way that I like to work with it is to, you know, ask two questions, one that's false and one that's true. And you want to notice which answer, which one, you know, kind of like you open up and you expand, or maybe you feel some tingling, or, and just to notice what your response is so that you get a sense of what is your body's response saying that's true for me, and what is your response saying that's false for me, because we need a compass so that later on when we're asking questions, we have that guide. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, 100%.
So far? Okay, good. All right. Yeah. You're going to be my feedback person. Make sure I've got got this.
No, back. If I'm not clear on something, I'm super happy to ask lots of questions because I want to know all of this.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. So here's what we're going to do is I'm going to use you. So Midori, I want you to check in on your body as I ask these two questions and just notice how it feels in your body. So I know you're lovely in your brain. So I want you to kind of put your hand onto your heart and drop into your body a little bit here so that you can notice the sensations in your body. And so if the first question is, are you an infinite being?
Yes.
And then the second question, are you a finite pile of crap?
No.
Right. And then describe to me the sensation of the yes and the sensation of the no.
The yes was just kind of uplifting and it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second question that you asked me, are you a finite piece of crap? Or, however you want to phrase it. Just even the thought of it felt like I felt myself sinking just a little bit, but of course I don't believe that I am. So, but yeah, that's the sensation that I got.
Yeah. So now you have a gauge of what is an answer saying, yes, that's true, and an answer of no, that's false. And the true and the false can show up differently for everybody. I had one person who was so unique. She would get a tingling in her elbow for true, and she would get a tingling in her shoulder for false.
Mm.
No, that was how it showed up for her. Who cares? I don't care how it shows up, but just, you know, we ask those questions to start out so that we say, okay, this is what your compass is right now. And you can check in later. It may change. It doesn't matter. So once we've got that, then we can start playing with questions. And one of the ones I love teaching people is a decision-making process, because we have decisions to make, and especially I work with a lot of business owners. As business owners, we have a myriad of decisions to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And, you know, the less time you spend making decisions, the better. So in checking in, on, you know, it's like the question that you play with is, what would my life be like in 5 years if I do this? And you check in on the energy read of that, and then compare that to what would my life be like in 5 years if I don't?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here, I'm just going to like let people know what the pitfall is, or potential pitfall, is that you want to go in with no expectation of what the answer is going to be, so that you're tuning in to your compass inside as opposed to your brain that has logically decided this must be the answer, right? It's like, let's get that internal knowing going.
And just real quick, I think also with our brain, we have so many experiences. You know, if you're a business owner, you're not a kid. And we have so many experiences that are from our life, and that when, you know, you're talking about getting into your intuition or using your brain, and so often our decisions when we use our brain are based on our past experiences that may not have been successful, but that's just our past experience. That's what we did before, so therefore we're going to do it again. And so you see people making the same mistake over and over, and mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what you're saying, is if you can trust your intuition and your gut, it's going to help you change that. It's going to help you make a better decision.
It's going to help you to make the decision that's going to move you in the direction that you ultimately want to go. So let me give you an example. So I I asked myself this question, you know, a while back. I was deliberating about going to a chamber meeting. And quite honestly, if you haven't been to a chamber meeting, they're not the most exciting things to go to, right? So I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm committed to this process. Let me check in. So I asked the question, and it was like super light and expansive to go. I'm like, seriously? It's a freaking chamber meeting. Like, are you sure? So I asked the question. I asked the question 10 times over the day because I was like, no, that can't be the answer, right?
Well, right when you said it, I had an answer for you. And so, I want to hear how that went down.
I was like, oh. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm going to trust it. So I go. And then the other thing that I do is that I also use the energy. I'm like, I scan the room and I just, you know, kind of wait for somebody, like somebody just pops. It's as if in my vision field, somebody has got like a spotlight on them. And that's who I go talk to. So I go there and somebody lit up and I sort of knew her, but you know, she was on like an outside circle. So I went over, I said hi to her and we're chatting. And I was like, what's new? What's going on? And then she's telling me about this expert series calls that she's doing. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I said, well, if you ever need a guest, I'd be happy to be on there. And then it was like, okay, that feels like we're done. And, you know, so I moved on. I had one other person I just wanted to say hi to. And then the room felt dead. So I left. This is the craziness of my world, right? But I don't make myself wrong for it. It was like, all right, everybody else is done. Okay, so here's what happened. 2 weeks later, this woman phones me up and says, I have a guest that can't make it on my show. Can you fill in? So I'm like, great, that actually works out. You know, we had to juggle a few things, but I filled in on her show. Then she connected me to somebody who was a high influencer who connected me to somebody else who's sent me, you know, and as a result, I think I've gotten about 10 clients as a result of that tree so far. Okay. So that is why intuitively I knew that that was where I needed to be. But logically, I never would have gone.
Right.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So because I'm listening to you and I'm just trying to process it all as we're talking, and what's happening in me is that I hate chamber meetings. I feel like I have not had great, you know, everyone's very nice and, you know, outgoing and stuff, but it's, in general, it hasn't been fabulous. So I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking, okay, if I put my hand on my heart and I ask that question, I'm trying to trust my gut. But my head is taking over. My head is saying, hell no, I'm wasting my time. So how do you kind of get make sure that you're making that shift from brain to gut?
Yeah, and that's the muscle development, right? Where we need to be checking in on things. And what I say to, you know, my little half pound weights for people are the small, what people would consider inconsequential decisions. Should I wear this shirt or should I wear this shirt? Do I want a latte or do I want a cappuccino? You start checking in on small decisions and you follow that niggle, right? What would my life be like in 5 years if I have a latte? What would my life be like in 5 years if I have a cappuccino or whatever? Right? You fill in the blanks. Yeah. If you do those on a regular basis and you spend, you know, for the people who want to do it, the self-help method, spend the next 3, 4, maybe up to 6 months following it on little decisions, then start looking at things that matter, you know, that you would have more engagement from your brain. Because now you've got some muscle development, you've got that connection of like, oh, this works. This feels good when I do this. This feels good when I do this. This feels good when I do this. And so you're going to want to do it with something bigger.
You start to trust yourself more too, I think, you know, just like what you were saying. You know, do I want the latte? Do I want the cappuccino? Which one's going to, you know, so you start to trust yourself more. So therefore, when it does come to the bigger decisions, it's more natural.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. That was a huge tip. That's great. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah. Ooh, and again, like this is, you know, I was at that point where I had been, you know, trusting my intuition for probably 3 years when I asked that question. right? So when it kept coming up light, even though it was, I knew it was coming up light, and I was like, seriously, it's a chamber meeting. Like, you know, part of me did not want to follow it, because the majority of people who go to chamber meetings, I use this analogy of goats and unicorns. The majority of people who go to chamber meetings are what I would call goats. And then there are the people like you and I who are the shiny unicorns. Goats don't understand unicorns. They look at us and they go, "What's that thing on your head?" Right?
Right.
And if you're in a room full of goats, it's so easy for a unicorn to start making themselves wrong and think, "Oh, maybe there's something wrong with me. I've only got one horn and you've got two. Like, there's something wrong with me." But you're just in a room full of goats.
Great analogy.
Yeah.
Great analogy. Yeah. So we're the shiny, we're the people who walk into a room right now, and we can make people happy and we can change the energy in a room. But if you're surrounded by others who maybe don't have that same energy field, it can also bring you down. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. And it goes beyond that. It's when you're in a room full of goats, they're all doing judgment. And so generally shiny unicorns pick up what's going on with everybody else. And so you walk in, and so you're perceiving all of their judgments, and you're aware of them judging you. And that's
back to the post-its, on the wind,
Yeah.
We don't want that wall back up. Okay. Makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Dana, this has been phenomenal. I want to talk to you for like hours. I definitely want you to come back, because this has been so enlightening and definitely not what I expected. And I don't think what my listeners expected either, but there are so many, even though we talked a little, metaphorically and esoterically, there's a lot of tangible tips that people can use. And, it's building that muscle. And I talk about this a lot in my teaching and in my coaching, is that something might not feel comfortable at first, but you keep on practicing it and practicing and practicing it until it becomes normal, until it becomes part of who you are, and then go to the next step, just like what you talked about. So that is a great reminder for everybody that even though some of this might not be your norm, might not be in your wheelhouse at the moment, these are great tips that you can use in any part of your world, in any part of your life. And so I encourage you to try, to practice, just to try it out. Like Dana said, use a little small, insignificant thing, such as what type of coffee to get in the morning, and start there. But Dana, how can people learn more about you and get in touch with you? And then also, I think you have an amazing gift for our listeners. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So you're going to have the link there for the free opt-in, which is a three-part video series on, how to become magnetic from the dominatrix style. So this is, really stepping into that energy and being able to compel people towards you. So that is a great opt-in for people. Fabulous tools. There is, of course, my website, which is danaferrant.com. So D-A-N-A-P-H-A-R-A-N-T. And then the other way that I would love to invite your listeners is to my podcast, which is Inner Dominatrix. And you can find that anywhere that you subscribe to podcasts. So there's some great solo episodes. If people want to learn more about my story and the dominatrix piece, I dig into it in that podcast.
Okay, perfect. This will all be on my website under Dana Ferrant for this interview. So you can get all this, the link to the three-part video series gift, which is free. That is there. And then also her podcast show, that link will be there, or the name will be there, and you can use whatever platform you prefer. But I will also make sure that gets added. So, Dana, thank you so, so much for the show and sharing so brilliantly with our audience. Next week, we are going to have Miss Natalie Ledwell. And if you don't know who Natalie Ledwell is, you got to be here, because this lady is a powerhouse. She is the inspiration behind a business called Mind Movies. Mind Movies, if you haven't heard of that, it's a takeoff on The Secret. Remember the book, the movie, The Secret? And she has absolutely catapulted it. Her business is seven figures. She is killing it. But she also is a massive, what does she call herself? A massive manifester. And she feels that that is why she's been so successful. So she's going to be talking about that and how to become a massive manifester yourself. So after hearing this show, if you come to next week's show, it's just going to empower all of this in you, and it's going to improve your success in your career, but also in your relationship. That's what everything that I talk about, that's what my whole show is about, is empowering you to become your best self. Because when you are your best self, you are going to have your best relationship. It all ties in together. So I encourage you to come back, meet Natalie. Please share this show, because every guest I handpick and I make sure that they are phenomenal and that they are going to add something to your life. So I encourage you to share it. I am sending out my love to you because I'm so grateful for you even being here and helping me grow my show. So thank you once again. That is my gratitude today. And I encourage you, as always, to share a little gratitude with those you love and care about every single day. All right. Till next time, next Wednesday, we will be here at 1 p.m. Pacific time. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Kick-Ass Relationship Show with Midori Verity. We hope you've enjoyed the show and want to share the love by passing on our web address, midoriverity.com/show, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous shows. This has been a Midori Verity International production. Join us next time on the Kick-Ass Relationship Show to add passion and fun to enjoy the most extraordinary relationship and life.